claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fly together when we fly.
I can get the feed straight off the website. That'll help me.
Paramol.com. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, waiting for the fence, France.com feed to start with Dr. James Fetzer. Yep, exciting times, exciting news, exciting days. We live in a world of change. I know that for certain. Yeah. So God bless you. They're getting ready to start here, I think, within about a minute. It seems that their breaks always seem to overlap a bit. And such is life in the cross-reference radio world. But, yeah, I don't know if they want to be playing Rents advertising on Revolution Radio. After all, there's supposed to be free speech. Commercial free, that's right. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, it's like that. Anyway, so Maggie Rose, the Concord Show is on A. Jim Fetzer, Studio B. Yep, we're still waiting on Rent. Yeah, what's going to happen in the future? A little birdie told me there's a protest show tomorrow. I don't know what that could be about. I'm sure sometime tomorrow morning we'll find out. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. Free speech, rare commodity these days. You know, free speech is like the Vietnam War. We didn't win the Vietnam War either by having limited war. You really can't have limited speech. How can you? Don't you say those bad words. Anyway, adults and conspiracy theorists alike, God bless you all. I think they're about ready to come into the show here. Yeah. Hey, Fred, don't you worry. I'll take care of you, pal. Well, that's until It's until or if they yank my access. Yeah. And it's always nice when you know who's standing behind you. But anyway, God bless you. All right. Here we go. Getting ready? Kickstart. And this is why I hate commercialism. Even a conspiracy show. Come on. Free. It's information that you're supposed to be putting out there. Sure, you're going to make a living, but, you know, it seems to be everybody wants to make a joke off of somebody else's heart. Well, I'm not. Anyway, let's see the power of that. Producer line's trying to call my Skype. I'm not going to take that call because I'll stream it straight from the website. A lot easier that way.
Hey, already. Right. Zoom, Zoom. Eric Carlstrom is here. Dr. Carlstrom with us twice a month, a man who is deeply immersed in the most dark and really...
That's exactly what they want. You push back on them. It's absolutely stunning how the Democrats were promoting all of this nonsense going on, all the looting, all the violence, all the arson. They were 100% for it, and it's continuing in Minneapolis today. They don't want to admit it, but this was not. I mean, just think of the absurdity of Joe Biden declaring that white supremacy is the greatest problem facing the nation. This wasn't the White Lives Matter movement that was conducting the arson and the looting. This was not the White Lives Matter. This was Black Lives Matter. So why isn't he talking about Antifa and Black Lives Matter, for example, which is exactly what's going on here? This is outrageous. They are the problem. If there's a domestic terrorist problem, it has nothing to do with Republicans or conservatives or Trump supporters. They're just trying to play it. Thus, through June, July, August, we had the Joe Biden. Just through June, July, August, we had Joe Biden sleeping through the whole event. Then finally he says this violence is a threat and must end now. Well, it's violence that they created. It's violence they created. Meanwhile, and this is quite a fascinating development, we have a federal report that has not been released, concluding there's no evidence that free speech online causes hate crimes. Think about it. We're being that it's necessary to suppress Trump on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, because he's supposed to have been inciting the Capitol riot when the Capitol riot was a political stunt engineered by Nancy Pelosi. You can take that to the bank. Meanwhile, this unreleased report concludes there's no evidence free speech online causes hate crimes. This is a report sent from the Department Commerce to Congress in January, but is yet to appear on any government website. It was prepared by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, a branch of the Department of Commerce responsible for advising the president on all matters related to telecommunications and the internet. It was drafted to revise the findings of a previous report on the role of telecommunications in hate crimes. It was prepared under the Trump administration. The request to revise the report came from the 116th Congress, controlled by a 35-seat Democrat majority and only a slim Republican majority in the Senate. The 1993 report is still publicly available on the web, but the latest revision is not. No doubt the reason is clear. Bureaucrats and establishment politicians with a vested interest in the hate crimes panic want to suppress it because it contradicts popular media narratives alleging a rise in internet-inspired hate crime. Reports like this are typically made public, said a source who worked closely with the agency on the report. I don't know why it isn't up on a government website yet. It's already been submitted to Congress. It's not a private thing anymore. I suspect the Civil Rights Division might have something to do with it. According to the source who formerly worked in the Trump administration, the updated report was bitterly opposed by the Civil Rights Division, which is the part of the Department of Justice responsible for prosecuting hate crimes. The Civil Rights Division, said the source, is also at the forefront of efforts to drum up hysteria over white nationalist extremism in the United States. Despite its opposition, however, the report was approved by the Office of Management and Budget and sent to Congress. But it still doesn't appear on any website, and the press hasn't reported on it until now. From the report, the evidence does not show that during the last decade, a time of expansive growth of electronic communications, particularly on the internet and mobile devices, as well as social media, there has been a rise in hate crime incidents, and there is no increase in hate crimes. The report also warns efforts to clamp down on online communication will undermine the First Amendment. From the report, we caution that efforts to control or monitor online speech, even for the worthy goal of reducing crime, present serious First Amendment concerns and run counter to our nation's dedication to free expression. To quote President Barack Obama, the strongest weapon against hateful speech is not repression, it is more speech. The report also criticizes academic extremism researchers for failing to back up their assertion of a causal link between online hate speech and real-world hate crime. This research, and much like it, fails to demonstrate any causal relationship between increased social media use and increased violence. This research does not present even comprehensive descriptive data correlating increased hate speech on social media with increased hate crimes. Finally, it issues a blistering condemnation of Silicon Valley companies for using the hate speech panic to undermine freedom of expression on their platforms. From the report, Clay Neff reported that tech leaders have recognized that relying on human teams alone to review content will not be enough, and that artificial intelligence will have to play a significant role. That said, there are, of course, significant policy and practical limitations to reliance on automated content moderation. Interestingly, much of this technology is being developed from approaches pioneered by the Chinese Communist Party to stifle political discussion and dissent. Given that all the major social media platforms have rules against hate speech and, in fact, employ sophisticated algorithmic artificial intelligence approaches to enforce these often vague and contradictory rules in a manner also used by tyrannous regimes, it is appropriate to ask what they gain from it. Certainly, as this report shows, the platforms have no reasonable expectation that their censorship will end hate crimes or even diminish it, as no empirical evidence exists linking increased hate speech with hate crimes. Further, the censorship poses real dangers to our political system. Under the hate speech prohibitions and other censorship rules, the platforms have removed content that many consider seriously engaged with pressing political and social issues. That's wonderful. An excellent report that completely undermines all the efforts to suppress conservative and right-wing voices by the social media. It has no basis, no empirical or scientific justification. It's purely political. Meanwhile, a very positive development from California. A federal judge has overturned California's three-decade-old ban on assault weapons, ruling that it violates the constitutional right to bear arms. U.S. District Judge Roger Bennett of San Diego ruled Friday the state's definition of illegal military-style rifles unlawfully deprives law-abiding Californians of weapons commonly allowed in most other states. He handed down the two-page ruling in response to a lawsuit filed against the state of California by James Miller, Patrick Ross, Ryan Peterson, and the state San Diego County Gun Owners Political Action Committee, which I cite specifically because they are heroes in standing up for the Second Amendment. Here is a part of the opinion issued by the federal judge. You might not know it, but this case is about what should be a muscular constitutional right and whether a state can force a gun policy choice that impinges on that right with a 30-year-old failed experiment. It should be an easy question and answer. Government is not free to impose its own new policy choices on American citizens where constitutional rights are concerned. As Heller explains, the Second Amendment takes certain policy choices and removes them beyond the realm of permissible state action. California may certainly conceive of a policy that a modern rifle is dangerous in the hands of a criminal, and that, therefore, it is good public policy to keep modern rifles out of the hands of every citizen, but the Second Amendment stands as a shield from government imposition of that policy. Well done. Very important decision. Remember, of course, the Democrats have sought to demonize the AR-15, which is not a fully automatic and therefore is not an assault weapon, is not a weapon of war. But having handled and fired an AR-15, I'll tell you, it is the most versatile, useful, functional rifle Americans could possibly have, whether for the purpose of home defense or to defeat a tyrannical government when it overreaches, as our own government now appears to be doing. We cannot allow our weapons to be taken from us lest we be turned into serfs and slaves, which appears to be an agenda that is receiving way, way too much support these days. Let me also add, then it comes to what Black Lives Matter is protesting, blacks killed by whites. 55 more times blacks are killed by blacks than blacks are killed by whites. 10 times more whites are killed by blacks than blacks are killed by whites. Over 10 times more whites are killed by whites than blacks are killed by whites. This whole BLM movement is based on no data at all, not allowing comparisons and elementary fallacy. Especially, I spent 35 years teaching students to avoid all the pain.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support, which has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet.
James.
Revolution Radio.
James.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
We've never had this before, so we're going to have to...
Yeah.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your Mana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Well, just to explain what's going on here in terms of, you know, gun violence across the nation, there's a very strong racial component here the Democrats want to suppress. For example, New York City crime statistics for 2014, arrests for violent crime. If you break it down in terms of race, Black, Hispanic, white, or other, arrests for shooting, 97%. Black or Hispanic, 75% Black, 22% Hispanic. Murder, 62% Black, 32% Hispanic, 94% Black or Hispanic. Rape, 64% Hispanic, 43% Black, 89% Black or Hispanic. If New York City were all white, rape would be down 83%, murder down 91%, shooting down 96%. So what Black Lives Matter is doing is try to shift the focus away from the crimes being committed by Blacks to the relatively rare case of where whites kill Blacks. Indeed, my brilliant colleague, Dr. Ewan, who maintains the Fellowship of the Mind blog, superimposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder distribution map. And it turned out the murders were overwhelmingly being committed in areas controlled by the Democrats. And think about it. What could be more obvious? If you're going to create free fire zones, if you're not going to allow law-abiding citizens to carry weapons, the only parties carrying weapons will be non-law-abiding citizens, criminals, who aren't going to give up their guns anyway. So they're creating free fire zones. This is a failure of Democrat policies. If they were to get rid of their gun control laws and to allow concealed carry, the murder and gun violence would be cut in half overnight and drop steadily thereafter. Chicago is a perfect illustration. And then the Democrats have compounded it by the absurdity of defunding the police. If there's ever been a more stupid, colossally stupid campaign slogan in world history, not just here in the U.S., in world history, that's got to be it. Democrat politicians who sided with Black Lives Matter, Antifa thugs, and other anti-cop radicals suddenly feel the consequences of their knee-jerk reaction to protests. Thoughtless decisions to defund police departments resulted in experienced law enforcement officers retiring early or resigning in protest at unprecedented levels. Coupled with Joe Biden's lawless rhetoric and an anti-police Department of Justice led by Merrick Garland, Democrat-run cities now suffer a significant escalation in violent crime. That's why liberal politicians are quickly replenishing police budgets in a desperate plea to attract qualified officers. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio even recently stated he would reinstate $92 million to build a precinct he considered dead on arrival during the summertime BLM riots. The notoriously anti-cop Democrat stood shoulder to shoulder with looters, arsonists, and street thugs engaged in attacks on NYPD officers. He was more than happy to strip police funding and kneel with rioters for a photo op. Remember, this was not rioting and looting by White Lives Matter. This was rioting and looting by Black Lives Matter. So how can it be that the Biden administration is declaring white supremacists to be the major problem confronting the country? I mean, think about it. This is unbelievably bad, disgraceful, phony, fake, lies, deceit, deception, which appears to define the Democrat Party 100% today. The NYPD suffered a reported 75% increase in officer departures since a Democrat mayor backed rioters against law enforcement. A stunning 272 officers left during a single month. 2020 departures stood at 2,300 above 2019 attrition. Criminals took full advantage of diminished precincts to the tune of a 30.4% increase in crime in April of 2021 compared to April of 2020. Larceny ramped up 66%, felony assaults by an equal percentage. These statistics, however, are only the tip of the spear. Police are less inclined to make difficult arrests out of concern for politically motivated attacks on their career and their character. According to the law enforcement think tank, Police Executive Research Forum, nearly half of all police departments polled in 2020 suffered defund the police effects. Minneapolis was at the center of the storm in 2020 following the death of George Floyd. Led by some of the more extreme socialist Democrats, the city council slashed the police budget by $8 million. Like Democrat Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's results, Minneapolis has been plagued by gun violence ever since. Early data coming out of the city reportedly indicates a 250% increase in gunshot victims in Minneapolis. Robbery incidents increased 59%, rape by 22%. Local officials have returned more than $6 million of the money taken away to placate radicals after citizens brought civil lawsuits against them for abdicating their responsibility to keep people safe. In other words, residents of Minneapolis had to bring lawsuits against the Minneapolis City Council for not protecting them with police services for which they as taxpayers are paying. We have to have a wholesome community. We need multi-strategy and not a singular approach like the current council is doing, where it's all about police. Police have to change, but we need them desperately, said a Minneapolis resident. Democrat strongholds, such as Baltimore and others, appear to be following a subtle refund the police movement. But the largest problem many face is the fact that experienced officers have retired or moved to Republican-run municipalities where their efforts remain appreciated. everyday Americans are keenly aware the anti-police messaging coming out of the White House only exacerbates the situation. Approximately 73% of Americans recognize crime rates have spiked in the absence of former President Trump's law and order leadership. Meanwhile, if that's going on in New York and Minneapolis, we have other developments in California. Governor Gavin Newsom has pulled up all the stops to retain his governorship in the wake of an upcoming recall election, including bribing voters with a promise of free stimulus money. However, the hot summer months could reduce his plans to ashes unless he's able to miraculously fix California's regular ongoing power outages. As one journalist aptly noted, people who can't turn on their lights as they vote are going to hold Governor Newsom responsible, as a Democrat party is opting to throw its support behind Newsom. A successful recall would see a Republican candidate take control of the state. Supporters and opponents of Newsom all acknowledge he's in for a rough ride this summer. The three largest investor-owned utility companies are expected to shut power on and off to hundreds of thousands of homes during the hot summer months. Records of last year show more Californians experienced power cuts than the year before, even though they were shorter than in 2019. Rainfall is at an historic low. Blackouts could be coupled with water restrictions and horrific wildfires. Newsom supporters are blaming the problem on climate change, of course, as though CO2 were actually something that's anti-life. I mean, it's a normal waste product that trees and bushes convert into oxygen. Are these people so stupid they don't know the elements about the environment and ecology and how CO2 contributes to the production of oxygen to keep us alive and well on Earth? They add that Californians know the governor has been dealt a bad hand, isn't responsible for the hot weather or the failure of companies like PG&E to cut trees near power lines to prevent blackouts and fires. However, many are likely to remember that their governor referred to shutoffs as the new normal in 2019 before reversing course and blaming utility companies. Many voters, too, are looking for someone to blame when things go so drastically wrong in their state, where I myself was born. Governor Newsom would likely be blamed even if he were not at fault for past and future power outages. There's no way to predict the upcoming recall election with certainty. What can be said is that Democrats who are confident of winning may be in for a surprise if the hot summer months bring about more power cuts, water shortages, and horrific wildfires. If Newsom cannot show better leadership skills than he did during the COVID-19 pandemic, even his handouts may not be enough to keep him in power. According to California law, if Newsom does not win at least 50% of the vote, he will automatically lose his governorship to the person who got the most votes in the recall election, even if that individual does not get 50% of the vote. In any case, that person is certain to be a Republican. And I predict it's going to happen. Meanwhile, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer is a target of the left because he has a solution to determine whether ballots cast in an election are valid or not. Remember, we have had 4 years nonstop of the Democrats lambasting us 24/7 with a claim that the 2016 election was not legitimate. And yet let anyone raise the least doubt about the 2020 election and we are demonized as conspiracy theorists or nut jobs. But the evidence overwhelmingly supports that although the 2016 election was rigged for Hillary Clinton, voters in rural counties turned out in mass for Donald Trump and overcome the way they had it rigged. Just as we know that in 2020, even though they had it rigged more massively against Trump and for Biden, they had to stop in the middle because Trump was still winning, by an overwhelming margin to manipulate the outcome. Now we have this brilliant guy, Pulitzer, with a solution to sort it out. We first heard of him in mid-December of 2020 when he described a bit about his background, how he could determine the validity of every paper ballot in an election. His method of focusing on the paper ballots, not the voting machines, was earth-shattering and brilliant. He's quite possibly one of the most successful and relevant inventors of all time. In an effectiveness and usefulness review of top technology innovators and their inventors and their patents conducted in early 2019, citing sources such as IP Watchdog, Acclaim IP, USPTO, and others, intellectual property professionals put Pulitzer in the number one inventor position with an astounding 4,790% over the industry average for patent citations compared to Elon Musk, who came in at 987% over the industry average on the same scale. Pulitzer, who has over 200 patents specifically dealing with scanning machine-readable codes and how machines interact with them, such as ballots and voting machines, and literally has his patents as a license portfolio to almost all 15 billion mobile devices on the patent, felt something went horribly wrong with the 2020 general election. This prompted Pulitzer to put his 26 years of technological expertise in scanning and digital interactions a good use for the American voter. He has concluded the voting machine code was written in a way to allow certain chosen ones, politicians, a win to rule over people unethically. He goes on to share the voting machines and the code are broken and kept that way so some can use it to their advantage. This corruption was uncovered in the 2020 election. Fortunately, Pulitzer has a mechanism to unwind the election and identify the invalid ballots included in the current voter tallies. Although President Trump didn't initiate the executive orders, it does appear that they were heard, where the current Arizona 2020 Maricopa County election audit appears to be based in part on Pulitzer's technology. Other efforts in Pennsylvania and Georgia appear to be considering his ideas as well. The left is crazy about these efforts because they know something that we only suspect. Those on the left are doing all they can to disparage Pulitzer because he is a threat. His ideas of verifying the paper ballots are unique and genius. If given the chance, Pulitzer may save the union by providing actual verifiable results of elections across the country from 2020 and into the future by focusing on paper ballots. We know what the outcome of the election actually was. Team Sydney, Sydney Powell, actually published the actual results of the election before the Dominion servers were seized. And it was read virtually from coast to coast, where Trump even took California and Minnesota, as I was predicting he would do, and won 410 electoral votes. Meanwhile, Lyndon LaRouche Political Action Committee has a petition, Hands Off Trump, investigate the real January 6 conspirators. They have not been fooled. The intent is still to prosecute Trump and prevent him from running again. The idea of having a 9/11 commission, like the first 9/11 commission, would be a frame-up, a witch hunt, and a cover-up, distracting from the actual perpetrators, where Nancy Pelosi has to be understood to have been the principal player. The focus of such an investigation, were properly conducted, would be on the director of the FBI and other intelligence agencies, foreign or domestic, known to have informants in Antifa, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Ukrainian Pravi Organization, or any other group now known to have conspired to invade and riot in the Capitol long before January 6th. How many informants or undercover agents are in these groups? What were they reporting? What role did they play? I'm reminded of how in the 1940s there would be communist cell meetings where every member present was an informant for the FBI. According to the Capitol Police, despite their request, the National Guard was not deployed to the Capitol because of interventions by House or Senate leadership. Well, ask yourself, who could possibly have controlled or overruled the Capitol Police in their request to have National Guard reinforcement? One name stands out. The person who is in charge of the Capitol Police, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Another area of inquiry involves the relationship of QAnon to any government agency of the U.S., any contractor of the U.S., any foreign government agency or contractor, or any political or charitable entity hostile to Donald J. Trump. Since declaring QAnon a domestic threat in 2019, what steps did the FBI or DHS take to infiltrate Q? What was involved in the operation? What other government contractor, or private social media operation did the government know about, such as General Stanley McChrystal's defeat disinfo, have been directed at supporters of Donald Trump? Meanwhile, Trump has demanded an audit of the Pennsylvania election. Very appropriate. Revolver has done a study. Let me report some of the highlights. As President Trump and his allies hope to get to the bottom of election fraud concerns in Arizona, the Donald has set his sights on a new and potentially even more important target, Pennsylvania. President Donald Trump is demanding the Republican-controlled Pennsylvania State Senate conduct a forensic audit of the 2020 election, similar to the audit currently taking place in Maricopa County, Arizona. Trump is making it clear that if Pennsylvania Senate leadership doesn't act, there's no way they'll ever get reelected because his supporters in that state, who are massive in number, would not support them. As Trump and his supporters gear up for electoral transparency in Pennsylvania, it's useful to revisit Revolver's groundbreaking statistical work suggesting foul play in the Keystone State. Revolver's first investigation looked at a highly unusual ballot dump that occurred in the middle of the night. We find considerable evidence consistent with the possibility of electoral fraud in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. We examined a highly anomalous update to mail vote totals in the New York Times Edson data, which enormously benefited Biden. At a high level, our results are suggestive of a new and highly suspicious batch of mail ballots being added to the count sometime between early morning Wednesday and Thursday morning, drawn from an implausible distribution that enormously favored Biden and simultaneously harmed Trump. The key points: on Thursday, November 5th at 9:05 a.m., a large batch of 90,022 mail absentee votes were added that had over 95% support for Biden. But the total votes go up only by 9,534, implying in-person votes went down by 80,488. On its own, this is a very strange irregularity. Suggested to me they took out 80,488 Trump votes that were in-person votes and replaced them by a comparable number of absentee votes for Biden. The new batch of 90,022 looks nothing like existing mail ballots. If the update were a data error, it would be complicated along multiple dimensions. It has a level of support over 95% that's statistically impossible when the mail votes counted up to that point had roughly 75% for Biden. Every comparison of pairs of candidates showed improbable changes. Irrespective of the old distribution, the new batch is extremely unlikely on its own terms. The distribution of the ballots being removed from the in-person count is even more implausible, where they now at 98.1% Biden, making it difficult to explain the overall vote update due to genuine mail ballots having been previously incorrectly classified as in-person. We provisionally conclude foul play is the most compelling and parsimonious explanation for the voting anomalies. They have much more to say about it. I think it's all very, very appropriate, very powerful. Meanwhile, Alan Dershowitz, who is a brilliant constitutional lawyer, is reporting Trump's enemies are weaponizing the law against him. Former President Donald Trump is being targeted with lawsuits from the left because of the January 6th incident at the Capitol and on other matters. They are trying to use the law in a weaponized way to attack him personally. Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz told Newsmax, I think what he did, meaning his speech at the Ellipse, as president was protected by executive privilege in the First Amendment. But bear in mind, as I've already explained, he wasn't inciting anything. The events had already taken place. He did not have the motive, the means, or the opportunity. He added legal actions are often political, such as in grand jury actions taking place in New York, where the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, ran for office on the campaign promise to get Trump. Dershowitz thinks there'll be more lawsuits as politically based legal actions are growing more extensive from both parties. It's wrong when either party uses it as a weapon, but it's being used now extensively, broadly, and in an overreaching way against a former president of the United States. If you don't like the former president of the United States, don't vote for him. If he runs again, don't vote for people he supports. That's your political right. But bringing lawsuits make little sense, except, of course, it has a public relations aspect. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Let's talk about something really important. Eye Complex CS, the eyes.
The eye is the window to your vision, perhaps your soul.
The Eye Complex formula that you've created, how is this different than the other 20 or 30 that are out there?
Many of the 20 or 30 have copper in them. Copper doubles your risk of Alzheimer's, of cognitive decline.
Somebody thinking about taking this Eye Complex, it's relatively inexpensive. Future cataract problems, macular degeneration problems.
Definitely will reduce the risk, and in 20% of people. So, I mean, that's enough to be valuable. Plus, you need vitamins anyway because you don't know what's in your food.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Olive Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing the wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This is Jim Fetzer sitting in for Daniel here with the Power Hour Nation and simulcasting on Revolution Radio, where my show, The Raw Deal, is normally heard at the same time on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Let me mention to one and all, both audiences, the call-in number for the final segment of the show after the break at the bottom of the hour is 844-769-2944. I repeat, call-in number for the final segment of the show, 844-769-2944, about any of the issues we're dealing with here or some other matter about which you'd like to get something off your chest and address to me. I will be glad to hear from you after the final break of the show at the bottom of the hour. Meanwhile, there's an absolutely fascinating piece published about, if you still believe the mainstream narrative on COVID, then answer these questions. I think this is simply excellent. Explain how they pulled the COVID Act 2020 legislation together in a matter of days, despite the act being several hundred pages long. We had a similar phenomenon, by the way, after 9/11 with the Patriot Act, which had been sitting on the shelf. It was thousands of pages long in order to find the right occasion, where they created the occasion in order to introduce the Patriot Act and deprive us of liberty under the Constitution. Explain why they have completely changed normal practice and used criteria like death for any reason within 28 days of a positive test to classify as a COVID-19 test. Explain why they banned autopsies of anyone dying from or with COVID-19. Explain why they changed the law to allow any practitioner to diagnose COVID through observation alone, even if it were done through video consultation. Explain why undertakers have seen no difference in burials or cremations. Explain how all-cause mortality is at an all-time low. Explain how millions of protesters across the globe aren't getting sick with COVID. Explain how this is the only crisis that needs an advertising campaign paired with a constant barrage of repetitive brainwashing propaganda on TV and in the streets. explain how hundreds of thousands of people marched to the streets of London for an afternoon last month, but it wasn't what's shown on any American TV channel or reported in the mainstream press. Explain how thousands were yelling, "Shame on you," outside the BBC headquarters in London, Manchester, and Cardiff last Saturday, but it wasn't shown in the United States on television. Explain how all those who are wearing the masks and following the rules are the only ones who are catching COVID. Explain how the creator of the PCR amplification tool is on record for stating that the PCR was not designed as a test for infectious diseases. Explain why they are using the PCR to diagnose an infectious disease. Explain why the concern has been changed from COVID deaths to hospitalizations to COVID infections to COVID cases, which, of course, are merely positive tests on a test that's 98% unreliable. Explain how the anti-vaxxers are being blamed for the rise in cases when the only people who could possibly be contributing to the statistics are people who are getting the test in the first place. Explain why the hospitals were emptier than normal during the height of the pandemic. Explain why whistleblowers are reporting the hospitals are not filling up with vaccine adverse reactions, but the mainstream media is not reporting it. Explain why kids need to be vaccinated when, by your own definitions, COVID isn't dangerous to children. Explain, if all the vulnerable people have already been vaccinated, why do all the healthy people need to be vaccinated if you're already protected by your own vaccine and the recovery rate was already 99.96% without it? Explain why the average age of death with COVID, 82.4, is higher than the average age of death without it, 81.5. Explain how you can be banned from Facebook and Twitter for sharing official government links. Explain why there are several class actions in progress taking governments across the globe to court for crimes against humanity, but there is zero mainstream coverage. Explain how the flu disappeared but has been replaced with something that has exactly the same symptoms. Explain why they downgraded COVID-19 from a high consequential infectious disease days before they declared a pandemic. Explain why most government leaders are reading from the same script. Explain how all the things you are laughing at us for talking about last year are now becoming a reality this, such as vaccine passports and mass surveillance. Explain why we have all the answers, but you have none. Meanwhile, absolutely true, there were some 30 million cases of the flu last year, but this year less than 2,000. So what happened with that vast number of millions of cases of the flu? Did the flu just disappear? No, it turned into COVID. They simply reclassified those who had the flu as persons who had COVID. Meanwhile, Israel appears to be turning up the heat against Iran. Fire and explosion hit Iran's steel factory in third major incident in 5 days, coming from Zero Hedge, which I recommend is a highly reliable source. A large fire broke out Saturday night at a steel factory in the southeast city of Zarand in Iran. It's the latest in a mysterious string of blasts and accidental blazes at sensitive sites to beset the Islamic Republic, raising questions of possible Israeli sabotage akin to what happened a year ago in the summer of 2020. Frankly, I have no doubt about it. The governor of Zarand told the Iranian Fars News Service that no injuries were caused in the incident and that it was under control, reported the Jerusalem Post. The incident was reportedly caused by the sudden overflow of molten material from the blast furnace, with the governor stressing no explosion occurred, but some early videos showed otherwise. social media show a sizable blaze, which appears to have triggered a significant explosion, resulting in debris and what looks like molten steel flying into the air. If it's molten, it would be iron, of course, not steel, since they would separate the iron and the carbon, which together form steel. Even if Iran suspects Israel is behind some of these incidents, Tehran officials are likely reluctant to go public with accusations, given negotiators are reported to be on the cusp of renewing the nuclear deal in Vienna, and the country is gearing up to vote for a new president this month to replace Rouhani, who, in my judgment, has done an excellent job in the office. Israel has vowed to thwart the deal by any means possible, with embattled Prime Minister Netanyahu, who appears to be on the way out, verbalizing he's willing to consider any level of action, even if it were to cause friction with the United States. There are further reports of other fires afflicting oil facilities throughout the country. Several oil facility fires have occurred in Iran's southwestern Avaz region during the past 48 hours. One Middle East source reviewed the recent string of fires and explosions hitting key Iranian assets as follows. 3 days earlier, a major fire tore through the Tehran Oil Refining Company on the outskirts of the capital. Another explosion followed by a fire sank Iran's largest naval vessel in the Sea of Oman on June 2nd. On May 23rd, 9 persons were injured in another blast at a plant producing explosive materials in central Iran. 3 days later, a pipeline explosion at a petrochemical complex near Iran's Gulf Coast left one dead. And we have plenty of photos and so forth of the vessel on fire as it sank. We also have plenty of photos of the oil refinery fire in Tehran. There are those who seek to explain it away, but it appears to be no accident, no coincidence all this is happening. I am convinced, by the way, that the reason Israel or the Zionists or the Israeli government went all in for Joe Biden was because they were certain he would not put up a protest when they undertook these actions against Iran. Trump would never have stood for it, in my opinion. Meanwhile, Governor DeSantis of Florida, whom I have heretofore admired virtually without qualification, has now signed a law banning criticism of Israel, which has vast First Amendment ramifications. This seriously compromises him, in my estimation, as a candidate for, say, the Republican nomination for president in 2024, should Donald Trump choose not to run. DeSantis championed and signed a bill that bans criticism of Israel. 2019 HB 741 bans any speech in the public school systems of Florida deemed to be making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews or the power of Jews as a collective, such as the myth of a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Well, the first part, of course, sounds like a kind of a traditional anti-Semitism bill. But the second part, controlling the media, economy, government of other societal institutions, would that include Hollywood? A Jewish columnist was quite cheerful about Jews controlling Hollywood. I myself have reported many times about having, you know, panels of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. Another panel from NBC, 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. A third panel from the New York Times of 100 executives, every one of which is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. Would I, therefore, in pointing out these facts of the matter, which imply that Israelis who are Jews control the media in the United States run afoul of this law? House Bill 741 also bans applying a double standard to Israel by requiring behavior of Israel that is not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation, or focusing peace or human rights investigations only on Israel. Why would anyone even think such a thing were the case? Israel has been the foremost violator of human rights the world has seen in the last 100 years. I mean, it's completely outrageous. Since the founding of Israel in 1947-48, there's been ongoing serious, serious problems with the Israeli treatment of the Palestinians. This is a major human rights issue of the 20th century. Now it's extending into the 21st. So I think DeSantis is simply wrong about this, 100% wrong. And I find it embarrassing. Powerful pro-Israel lobbying organization often push similar measures to shut down criticism of Israel, regardless of the political implication of the nation's reputation in America and across the world. Florida's law narrowly identifies and essentially criminalizes specific political speech in public places and is therefore nakedly unconstitutional. There is no reason to think this law has ever been enforced on any campus. It would virtually instantly be overthrown by courts that recognize its gross violation of the First Amendment. Let me add, the problem with unconstitutional measures like this is the mischief that occurs between the time they're promulgated, as this has just been passed in Florida, and the time they're eventually held to account and ruled to be unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, which can take years. Meanwhile, Governor Abbott of Texas, another state I have esteem for the manner in which it's handled the alleged coronavirus pandemic, signs anti-BDS legislation into law. Action signals Texas' strong support for Israel. Governor Greg Abbott today signed into law House Bill 89, known as the anti-BDS bill, which prohibits all state agencies from contracting with and certain public funds from investing in companies that boycott Israel. The governor hosted the bill signing at the Jewish Community Center in Austin, where today also marks Israel's Independence Day. This is very bad. As Israel's number one trading partner in the United States, Texas is proud to reaffirm its support for the people of Israel, and we will continue to build on our historic partnership. Anti-Israel policies are anti-Texas policies, and we will not tolerate such actions against important allies. The bill, authored by Representative Phil King, prohibits the state of Texas from conducting business with companies involved in the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. After the bill becomes law, it ensures certain public funds are not invested in any entities participating in this movement. Additionally, state contracts will only be given to verified businesses to guarantee that Texas maintains a strong and supportive relationship with Israel. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is promising ironclad support for whoever leads Israel, where the opposition coalition formed on Wednesday could bring an end to Bibi Netanyahu's 12-year reign. The United States said Thursday that its ironclad support remain in place for whoever leads Israel, with a coalition of opposition parties from across the political spectrum seeking to oust Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu after more than a decade in power. A group of 8 parties, including some unlikely political allies, such as the United Arab List, reached an agreement on Wednesday to form a new coalition government. It appears that is going to happen. Wednesday's announcement does not immediately end Netanyahu's grip on power, as lawmakers will need to vote on the deal, which is expected this week. While Netanyahu remains at the prime minister's residence in Jerusalem, He's likely to deploy every card at his disposal to make the new administration fail before it has even begun. He's expected to continue his attempts to persuade lawmakers to defect so that Lapid and Bennett do not have a majority, 61 seats, in the 120-seat Knesset. Meanwhile, even though I disagree with Noam Chomsky's on many issues, in this regard, I agree 100% quoting him. When Israelis in the occupied territories now claim they have to defend themselves, they are defending themselves in the sense that any military occupier has to defend itself against the population they are crushing. You can't defend yourself when you're militarily occupying someone else's land. That's not defense. Call it what it's like. It's not defense. Let me add, by the way, since we're coming up to the break, the number to call in for anyone who has any questions, 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Before we get to the break, let me mention that my petition for the Wisconsin Supreme Court in my Sandy Hook lawsuit is moving forward, where it was initially rejected by the court as having been submitted in an untimely fashion, but where my attorney submitted a correction to point out that it had been perfectly timely, and the Supreme Court reversed itself. The key issue has to do with my being denied the opportunity to defend myself from the allegation that I had made a false allegation about the authenticity of a death certificate by producing all the evidence that Sandy Hook had been a FEMA exercise where no children were killed. Here from my petition to the court is the key passage. The circuit court at the outset of this case narrowly limited its focus, advising Fetzer that whether Sandy Hook occurred was beyond the scope of this action, stating unequivocally, quote, whether or not Sandy Hook ever happened or not is not relevant to this, the truthfulness of the accuracy of the death certificate. Now, I understand the defendant's overall theory and believing that it never happened, and I'm not going to take the bait and let this case go down that rabbit hole. The circuit court's limited view of the matter, further indicated by the court's refusal to read your book because it would not be appropriate for me to start educating myself about the larger controversy. But how can it be irrelevant when it states right on the death certificate that the death occurred in a public school at 12 Dickinson Drive in Sandy Hook, Fairfield, Connecticut, on 12/14/2020, the cause of death, multiple gunshot wounds? Since that's the declared state, the cause of death in the death certificate, how can whether or not Sandy Hook ever happened not be relevant to the truthfulness or the accuracy of the death certificate? In my opinion, this is not rocket science. I certainly want to believe that the Wisconsin Supreme Court can set the record straight and vindicate me by at the very least giving me the trial that I was denied when the court, the judge in this case, ruled by summary judgment. Call in right now after the break. You've got the number. See you there.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution. It's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were to drink it, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption, utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soils. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877- 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat New Mana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oliver Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Oliver Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
James, you're live. James?
I'm here.
All right, you're live.
Thanks. Okay, remember the call-in line, 844-769-2944, and you're welcome to call in any issue that's on your mind. I'm glad to hear it. I will have say a few more words about the lawsuit. It's fascinating, in my opinion. This was filed to try to keep people from downloading a copy of the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where I brought together 13 experts, including 5 other PhD professors. So there were 6 of the 13 were PhDs doing research, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that it was a 2-day FEMA exercise presented as mass murder to promote gun control. And this was an Obama orchestrated action. And, you know, it was quite a scam where we even discovered the manual for the event, which spells out the time it begins. And it says, you know, one of the puzzling aspects about the many images that were broadcast from Newtown that day, there was a sign that said everyone must check in. There was pizza and bottled water available at the firehouse. There were many who were there wearing name tags on lanyards. There were parents bringing children to the scene. Well, think about it. No parent is going to bring a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre. I mean, that's just insane. Not only that, but it says right in the manual, everyone must check in with a controller upon arrival. Oh, they're going to get paid. And, of course, providing refreshments and restrooms is a standard part of a FEMA exercise. I spoke with police officers, for example, and said, have you ever heard of porta potties being set up at a crime scene? And they thought it was a joke, right? Or a sign, everyone must check in. In fact, one of the brilliant developments of Wolfgang Halbig is that in pursuing his Freedom of Information Action requests against the state of Connecticut because they didn't respond, when he simply wanted to learn what had happened at Sandy Hook, so that in his role as a nationally recognized school safety expert, he could advise other school systems on what they should do in order to make sure it didn't happen to them, that he had found that his initial phone calls weren't being answered, his FOIA requests weren't being responded to, and the next thing he knew, there were 2 detectives from a local precinct on his porch in a gated community in South Florida telling him they were there on behalf of the Connecticut State Police, and if he didn't stop asking questions about Sandy Hook, that he would be prosecuted. Well, not only is that absurd on its face, particularly given the purity of his motivation, but that really made him absolutely tenacious about it. Wolfgang is a bit of a bulldog. He even looks a bit like a bulldog. I would have traveled with Wolfgang in 2014 to Newtown, where we visited the Northwest Connecticut United Way, and where he was blocked from access to records that are supposed to be available to the public as a matter of law, where 6 or 7 Newtown police officers blocked his way physically. I was right there witnessing this, where we went to the police department because 3 of the highest ranking officers had been involved in the Sandy Hook event. And they refused to meet with us. How bad is that? Where we then went over to where the school had been located, and it had all been reduced to dirt clods. And we went to the firehouse where most of the activity had been centered, and where the chief of police, who'd been among the very first to respond, refused again to meet with Wolfgang. It was all profoundly disturbing. In any case, I think this is outrageous as to what has happened here, and that my being denied the right to a defense is a crucial issue before the Supreme Court, in addition to several others, which I'll explain before I take the caller standing by, a regular caller to the Raw Deal on Revolution Radio, to wit that the court never found that I was negligent, that I'd done anything wrong, which is an element of the offense of which I was found guilty by a summary judgment without being allowed to present my defense. And where, in addition, I was subjected to a penalty for having allegedly affected a third party who called the plaintiff in this case, who describes himself as Leonard Posner, who the plaintiff argued I'd somehow been responsible for calling up Posner, even though they had no evidence he'd ever read my book, had any knowledge of me whatsoever, all completely ridiculous. And we're in the separate trial for damages only. It wasn't a trial on the issue of the authenticity of the death certificate. I was found guilty and awarded $450,000 as a punishment for what I would say was, you know, exposing what happened at Sandy Hook to the public, for which I'm being punished, and where they wanted to have a justification to restrict access to the book, which was banned by Amazon. Can you believe? I have been doing this again and again, bringing different groups of experts together to sort out what's really going on in these events that are so politically significant, not just Sandy Hook, but also the Boston bombing. That's a really straightforward one. Orlando and Dallas, more fabricated events. Charlottesville, elaborately orchestrated by the governor at the time, Terry McAuliffe, a buddy of Hillary Clinton, and the mayor of Charlottesville, where I was extremely disappointed that I could not get the faculty in the Department of History to take an interest. All the evidence I had that this had been a fabricated event, where I sent them videos showing the crash. There had been two or three different takes of the crash, two different individuals, two different drivers, that the young fellow, 20 years old, diagnosed schizophrenic, wasn't even driving the car. They took no interest at all, which perhaps in retrospect ought not to be surprising, since Philip Zelikow, who is the executive director of the 9/11 Commission and who has been proposed to be the executive director of a January 6th commission, is on the faculty in the Department of History, and where Philip Zelikow's area of specialization before he entered the government service was the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S, where I suspect that Philip Zelikow actually scripted 9/11. He completed a draft of the report a year before he shared it with any member of the staff. He would have been perfect for January 6th. Okay, I have a couple of callers standing by. Let's bring in Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation. Paul, have we got you?
Hey, in light of your discussion of Gavin Newsom and the recall election out here, I just wanted to take this moment to announce my candidacy for governor of California, where my main campaign promise will be vote for me, an AR-15 will arrive in the mail with 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and you'll be instructed to use it against the coronavirus wherever you see it. So therefore, we will, in some way, shape, or form, defeat this horrible coronavirus, which has disabled our state.
So your campaign slogan, Paul, is vote for me, get AR-15 free. Nice, nice. You're going to get a lot of support, Paul. You better have a pretty good stock. There are, of course, California is our most populous state. We'd be talking about millions upon millions who'd pick you up on that. You can stick around while I bring in William from Vermont. William, join the conversation.
Oh, hello, James.
Yeah.
Nice to speak to you, sir. The reason I'm calling, actually, is I wanted to talk to you about masks as a fomite. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure I do. Go ahead and explain it.
Okay, well, a fomite is an object like a doorknob or a mask or anything that harbors pathogens, that distributes pathogens in the normal definition. And I say masks. Take it a step further because it's attached to your respiratory system. And as the Duke study showed last August, masks actually create aerosols. and as masks are often required in stores and will be again, I expect, more broadly across the country, the aerosols stay in the air up to an hour. So I submit that one step further, that masks are already also superior receptors of aerosolized pathogens.
So what you're telling me, William, is that masks are going to make matters worse. Of course, you're 100% correct about that. I have probably a dozen studies on my blog at jamesfetzer.org that masks are very harmful. Even the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons does not support wearing masks, and they are the leading professional medical scientific organization in the United States. So I could not agree more, Bill. Go ahead.
Well, can I submit one more thought?
Of course.
Quickly. One more thought quickly. That the masks, as a fomite, masks are perfect because they act as a petri dish on your face, right? So anything that's being in the vaccines and virally shed that gets aerosolized in calm environments is going to be spread around and cross-pollinating, so to speak, cross-fermenting.
Yes.
And that's, I just wanted to get that idea out there, the mass low-tech bioweapon distribution system.
Well, I didn't talk about Tony the Rat, as I refer to Anthony Fauci, who's going to be responsible for more mass murder than all of our foreign enemies in history combined, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito, who's been on all sides of these issues. He initially said masks are irrelevant, don't wear them. Later he came out for masks. We know masks are dangerous. You're recycling oxygen-depleted air. That kills your brain cells, unlike your other cells, your skin cells, for example. Brain cells do not regenerate. We expect that even just from wearing masks, there's going to be an increase in dementia in the American population. And for young people especially, to wear masks when competing in athletic events, for example, is an absurdity. It's a crime against these children, and it's outrageous. So I'm very glad, William, you called in with those additional thoughts. And as I say, you can find much more on my blog at jamesfetzer.org about masks. Meanwhile, we also have another caller from the East Coast, Scaredy Cat. Scaredy, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim and Paul and William. So it's a really good idea towards the beginning of your discussion, Jim, for good guys to replace bad guys, because the bad guys have totally glued their behinds to the seats of power, and especially this being the power hour, and they're glued there to rule over us. So I just am mentioning three quick names. One is, I've forgotten his name, actually, so maybe you can help me, Jim. From your Raw Deal show 3 days ago on Friday, you had your guest Bob Patterson, who described a gentleman who's going to try against Newsom for the governor of California. And, of course, Newsom is so gung-ho to lock down people, in fact, lock out people from their own lives and demolish their lives. Of course, him being a, what I call a demolishocrat. And if you could mention his name, for governor of California, which you were talking about earlier. Second name is Diane Sayre, S as in sunshine, A-R-E, and she also wants to replace another demolishocrat. That is the decades-long glued Senate seat of New York, of Chuck Schumer. She says that it's going to be a very uphill battle. She needs 15,000 signatures, I guess, because she's a newcomer and I guess not a party member. And so she says she's going to get a camera and get a friend and she's going to have fun. But I think we should also look into somehow helping her. And then the third name is Brenda Lepsack. L-E-B like Lebanon, and then sack like sad sack, although she's a very happy sack. Brenda Lepsack, she is not a politician. She's a 20-year-old career, years, not that she's 20 years old. She's a mature lady, but 20 years career teacher fighting against the pornographic curriculum for toddlers. And she does have a website, which I've forgotten, but she just said you can do a search engine for her. And although we ourselves, it's too tough, like to go after the governor's seat or the or a Senate seat, we can go to our local school board or the curriculum office, just show up at the local school, high school, elementary school, school district office, and do something, figure out if we can replace a position so that we can get something back for decency of the teaching of our children. And I'm muddled for the rest of it, so go ahead.
Scaredy, thanks for all those contributions. Paul out in California, who himself is running, may want to add to this. Paul, give us some further thoughts of yours about what's going on in California.
You know, I just gotta chuckle a little bit. I mean, I know that Scaredy is trying to be entertaining and a little bit humorous, and, you know, she's mildly successful in that. But if this last election taught us anything, it's that elections don't matter. So,
do you think there's going to be a successful recall in California or no? I mean, I certainly
expect there will be, unless the election is.
Go ahead.
They'll shuffle somebody else on the stage, okay? But as long as these people have power, you know, they're going to make sure that it doesn't matter. Here's my new prediction. I used to talk about, Joe Biden not lasting long and we're going to get Kamala Harris. I'm not so sure now. I think I'm going to revise it. I think they're going to bring back the Donald. We're going to have the big Trump drama again, and it'll still be the Joe Biden imposter running against Trump, and he will defeat Trump again. And we'll have two terms of the Joe Biden imposter. What do you think about that? We got to have some sort of figure out some odds for our bet on that one, huh?
I don't think there's any chance whatsoever of that happening, Paul. But it's interesting you suggest it.
Let me go
back to William in Vermont. William, if you're still here, do you have further thoughts you'd like to add?
No, I just wanted to get this idea out about fomites and that the masks are propagating disease.
Yes, they're most certainly damaging, and of course they're so coarse they can't possibly filter out any viruses, so they've really become a function of virtue signaling by wearing a mask. You're supposed to show you're a good citizen and supporting to the benefit of the nation, not realizing you're actually harming yourself and others that you may be imposing masks upon. Even here in Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County, where I reside, which is an ultra-liberal enclave, they have abandoned the mask requirements. And I'm very pleased to say now, when I go around maskless, I don't feel like I'm the odd man out, because most others are no longer wearing masks. You may, if you want to, of course, if you prefer to, but you're not obligated. Scaredy, come back with more thoughts of yours.
Okay, Jim, I do agree with Paul in that the row or line of bad guys is absolutely like hundreds of dominoes in reverse. So if you knock one out, so say we are successful in getting the Newsom out, so dominoes in reverse, another one will pop up, and there's another bad guy will pop up to take the position. And because bad guys, occupy the judges' seats also, et cetera, et cetera. However, we can do something, at least a tiny small thing, maybe just show up at a parent-teacher meeting, in a, just locally, just in your neighborhood, the neighborhood school, and also start pushing for how can we get money back into, you know, actual parents' pockets to pay for homeschooling. That is, there are plenty of talented people, engineers, artists, mathematicians, retired, who would love to, you know, give themselves happiness of working with the young kids to actually teach them some real subjects which are not being done in school. Because I've been a substitute teacher for quite a few years, and there's total, out of a 40-minute classroom, there might be 2 minutes of a lesson. The rest of the time, the students have become so lax. They just run around the class, shout at the teachers, and nothing gets done. And so how can, and I know a woman who pays $9,000 in school tax, which is going to fund this chaos upon the our children in the schools, going into the administrators and teachers' pockets, compared to $2,000 for her county tax and $1,500 for the entire borough, you know, street sweeping, snow sweeping, all those taxes. And $9,000 is a lot of money. It's, you know, almost five times the other taxes, which obviously the municipality needs for keep repairing the roads, etc. So how can we get this money, which all these houses and families are losing, even if they homeschool their kids? We need to put the money back in parents and families' pockets so that they can then pay a good artist to come to their house, a musician, you know, a chemistry professor, retired, etc., history professor, and pay them a good, you know, $50 or something for an hour a week.
Scaredy, wonderful, wonderful having you here. I'm so glad you and Paul in California and William in Vermont called in. I want to thank the Power Hour for having featuring me again to sit in. I love Joyce Riley, and I'm a huge fan of the Power Hour Nation, and I look forward to our next encounter. Thank you all very much for joining today. Thank you for listening.
All right.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...